Time people come on time to show us the Zivit Shavara, the beautiful Makam Taira. Okay, no problem. So why am I sitting, not standing? Rav Hutna Zatzal once discussed a very important subject before an august group of Machanchim. And he said, it shouldn't be standing and pontificating, but sitting and learning. So we'll learn through this sugya, just as a cautionary advance notice. This is not halacha lemaisa. You have a premier pesik, Rav first, shlite, that doesn't understand how could it be any heter to exchange hostages and prisoners. So I defer to Rabbi first, and there is a ongoing discussion. So we'll just touch upon different areas in the times that we have. And again, this is not halacha lemaisa. There was a yid who was being drafted in the Munkatabor. That was the Hungarian labor battalion. They were merciless. They literally massacred Jews. They used them as cannon fodder. They were fighting the Russians, the Hungarians, and they used these Jews to clear minefields by walking through the minefields. They beat them. I've met many yidden over the years that were impressed into Munkatabor. It was just like slave labor. So the Germans, Yimach Shemoy, were about to march into Hungary, and the father, the head of the family, was being impressed into the Munkatabor, this labor battalion for the Hungarians. And the kids were crying, and he said, listen to me. The pasuk says, Niplo no b'yad Hashem. Allow yourself to fall into the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm telling you, do not make decisions. Let Hashem make decisions for you. And he's taken away. And the next morning, thousands of kids emptied into the streets before the onslaught of the Nazis, Yimach Shemoy, because there were Hungarian farmers coming down from the mountains that were taking them to work for them. And hopefully, out of sight, out of mind, it would save the lives of these children. The mother came down of this family where the father was gone, and she had seven boys. And she saw a handsome Austrian farmer. And they described he was an aristocrat, elegant. His hair was combed, his beard was trimmed, and people were flocking to him. So the mother said to the son, take the boys over, go to him. He says, Mama, the Tatat Gezok, Yipul Nobiyan Hashem, we don't make decisions. The Rabban Shalom will choose. Their friends ran over. They were taken by this elegant Austrian farmer. And another farmer took them, all seven together. They survived the war. And they went to the farm where their friends had been drafted and pressed. And they saw that before this farmer evacuated, because of the fact that Shusterov Shlita, because of the fact that the Germans were withdrawing, so he went ahead and took every one of his charges, every one of the Jewish boys, lined them up face down and executed them. Everyone was killed. And they survived. They came home. And there was their father. And their father was singing Zmiris. It was Shal Ashuris, B'nei Chola Dechsifim. And this fellow wrote, and he moved to B'nei Brak, and the mantra of the family is Niplano B'yad Hashem. They did a shidduch. They let people know that their son or daughter is in the parasha. They don't run after anyone. Someone's not feeling well, they don't go over the world looking for the specialist, they go to the doctor, follow his advice. Their whole life is modeled after Nipla no b'yad Hashem. Now this is a very moiridika matchmaking. But Rabbi Yisai, ladies and gentlemen, this is the matzav we're in. With the atrocities that occurred on Simchas Torah, on Shabbos, and on Seinu HaKadoshim. The Kadoshim that was savagely killed, kidnapped, the soldiers that have been killed. This is a matzav of Nipla no b'yad Hashem. We can only allow ourselves to fall into the hands of Hashem, to daven. Moron Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld Zatzal asked the question, why is it that the dogs, Muslims are showing the tongue? Le'echaratz kelev l'shoinoi, when Klal Yisrael was leaving Egypt, the dogs did not bark. And that was an added bonus that Rabbeinu Shlom wanted Klal Yisrael not even to be terrified for a second. So many nisim happened to ease their transition from avdus to cherus to Eir Gadol. The Mitzrayim were drowned in the Yam. And then what happens is that they were thrown back on the shore so that they could be machar, they could die in another time in front of their oppressed. They should see that their oppressors are dying before their eyes. Take away any vestige of shibud. They became completely free. So b'meile le'yacharatz kelev l'shoinei, until today they're rewarded la'kelev tashlichan. I say, if you have meat, treifa meat, goes to the dog. For Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, the frogs were much more moiser nefesh than the dogs. The dogs kept silent, they didn't bark. It's their teva to bark, they didn't bark. But the frogs jumped into the fire, they jumped into the tanner, into the oven, to be mekadesh shem shamayim. So what was their reward? They lived a couple of more frog years. So it's like a valdige meila, they're able to croak on for a couple of more years before they croak, the proverbial croak. Thus is the gewaldige schar for jumping in. Zogt Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, weiss der Chois, it appears that it's far greater to remain silent than to jump into the fire. Our job today is to remain silent. We all can't get our heads wrapped around it. And every pundit has another cheshbin. We should be doing that. We should be doing this. Why didn't the Rav say this? Why didn't the Rav say that? Send tzitzis. Don't say tzitzis. Run there. Don't run there. Pull the kids from somewhere. Everybody's got aitzis. Aaron HaKohen, he faces the terrible ordeal. Nadav and Avihu, the two sons slated for leadership, after Moshe v'Aaron died, Vayidoim Aaron, he remained silent, stoic, like doimim, like a rock. And what's his reward? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam reveals to him a mitzvah b'yechidus. Lubavitch Hasidim were excited if they could have yechidus with the Rebbe Zatzal. Imagine yechidus with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's what Aaron was zeichet to. And dafka the mitzvah of shtuya yayim, which seems to be rubbing his nose in the dirt. Why would you remind Aaron of the reason why his kids were killed? Shtuya yayim, if kohanim are intoxicated when they enter the environs of the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to die. Shem Shifal Hirsch says you have to be euphoric from the mitzvah. So how does that the reward? That's how silent he was. He was stoic. He was like a rock. No emotion. So what basically happens is, when you stay quiet, remain silent, Hashem talks to you. Hashem answers you. That's why you do man. Now maybe, this whole chelik in the Shia, because we'll talk about the hostages to a certain degree, we'll talk about the Tzitz Eliezer, of Valdenberg, and the Chacham Ovadia's two tshuvas, And we'll give some of our own suggestions, but all this is only pilpul mapaskin halacha lamaisa. I'm suggesting different approaches to the issue of endangering soldiers, to say, well, the soldiers exchanging hostages during wartime, not during wartime. This is wartime now. Kapitel Tzadi Beis. We say this every Shabbos, twice. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Toiv L'Hoides L'Hashem. L'Zama L'Shim Chalim. We go on and we say, Ma'oid Omku Machshev Yisecha. Ish Ba'al L'Yeda Achsil L'Yom Nezois Befreach Rishoyim K'mayisav Yatsitz Kopay L'Yom. The Rishoyim are spreading like crabgrass. And they seem to be successful. We don't get it. L'hagid ba'buikir chastecho v'munoscho ba'leilis. The chesed of Hashem is apparent during daylight. When does emuna kick in? Ba'leilis. In the dark times. Everything's going well. You love Hashem. I love Hashem. I love Hashem. What does it say in the Torah? Tzadik v'yosheru hatzur tomim poloi k'chol drachov mishpot. Tzadik v'yosheru ain't over. I'd like you to meet my God. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't steal. There's no iniquity. It's the chashtar k'kashi. Tomim tiyem Hashem aleikecha, according to Rashi, means al tach karacha asidis. Don't debate the future. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, for the last three nisyonis, according to the Pirkei de Beleza, Hisalech lefonai v'yesomim, become whole. Brismila flies in the face of sanity. He's teaching the masses, humanity. You don't defile yourself. You don't maim yourself. How am I going to do a brismila? Hisalech lefonai v'yesomim, which is very interesting. Because the manual for Klal Yisrael is the exact opposite than for the Ummah Yisrael. I remember we had a Chayza B'Tshuva in Minneapolis. His name was Bart Stahl. Bart Stahl is now Mayor Halevi Stahl. He lives in Boca. Shema Torah Mitzvahs. Bart Stahl took off 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And his firm said, boy, you Jews know how to party. 2 days New Year's. 2 days New Year's. 2 days. But mishvashtanim, that the Ummah Yisraelim on their New Year's, they lose themselves. On our New Year's, we find ourselves. It's the exact opposite. Ezel Chacham, my mother, she has a math professor with a PhD from Columbia. That's not what the Mishnah says. Haloi made me call Adam. I'm never complete. I'm a talent. I'm always looking to learn. Ezu Asher, Sameach Bechelkoi. Ezu Gibra, Kovish is Yitzroi. Our manual is the exact opposite. So the same thing. Our manual in dealing with Soros is the exact opposite. Ish bar lo yeda, uchsil lo yoven ezois. What is a bar? So getting back to Atzur Tamim Poloi, I was saying before the Bris Mila, Yisaleich Lefanei V'yesamim. What do you mean, V'yesamim? I'm now cutting away, I'm imperfect. There's a part of me, the Orla, doesn't exist anymore. I cut away. That's the Yisrael, but Ummah Yisraelim to be complete. You have $9 million, you have $10 million, now you're complete. By Klal Yisrael, you have $1 million, you give away $100,000, now you're complete. Giving away, cutting away is how you become complete. Hisalech levonai v'yesomim, you become complete by cutting away. But all of these things, whether Bris Mila, or vanquishing Ishmael to a certain death, don't you respect life? And to kill his son All of these fly in the face of the sanity that Avraham Avinu has preached. His whole life's work is down the tubes. Says Hashem is Salech, Lefanai, Ve'yes, Amim, Tomim, Tim, Hashem, Alikecha, Al-Kacha, Chassidus. You do what God wants you to do. Don't worry about the future. So what did we say in this capital? Tell him that really is the crux of how to understand what's happening. Because nobody can get his head wrapped around it. So many wonderful Yerim and Shlim have approached me and other Rabbanim. How do you understand that Hashem loves us? How can we understand 1 mice, 10 mice, 20 mice? All these atrocities is beyond belief. Worse than the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. As we all know, the Nazis had an Einsatzgruppen that killed 1 million Jews. Shooting them point blank range. Babi Yar, all the places in the ravines that they killed the Jews. But then, as they were losing the war, they exhumed the bodies and they burned the bodies. They shouldn't find remnants of what they did. They blew up the crematoriums, the gas chambers. They didn't want anybody to know. They forced the Jews on marches that killed many of them, most of them, because they didn't want the Russians, the Americans, to liberate them. But these Yimach Shemoinikas came in to film every atrocity, every terrible, devious, gefelach of things, Stoim v'amoyron, steroids. They want the whole world to see, and they're so proud of it, and they told their fathers and mothers, how many Jews you killed today? LBJ, how many people did you kill today? How many Jews did you kill today? They're so proud of themselves. You can't believe this. How do you understand this? Hashem loves us, Racham v'chanan. We can't get our heads wrapped around it. So here's the short answer. And if you want, you can fall asleep right after this. Just try not to snore. First year, 15 years ago, I was a good Shul Beis Binyamin after I left my beloved in Minneapolis. I was there for 19 years. I was a neighbor in Chicago. I'd come at every excuse I had. So people thought I wanted to say sure, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to speak of this event, that event, and that dog, if sure. You got a great bakery on Devon. You got Chicago, great Chicago, and you got Romanian. What does a person need? I mean, there's no Ghanaian, no man. You don't even appreciate it. Well, yeah, you had bagels and lox. You should have had, where's Howard Bornstein? You should have had like steak and egg. Good. Chanoich. They didn't ask you to plan the menu. Alkobonim. So what's the deal? And I kid you not, if you know Chanoich, but we're not getting to that right now. So this is the shtick. Ishbar leyedo, uchsil leyovenizos. What is a bar? A bar is a ignorant person. Ish bar lo yeda, if I state nisht. But I said b'shus the Rav Shlita, so the Rav came in and said, "On chasham." But according to the legendary words of my legendary Rosh Hashiva, Mary Verabra, Molcha Giftis Atzal, what's a ksil? Listen closely. I'm going to teach you a new word in Yiddish. I have to say it the way Rav Giftis says. A ksil is an idiot. An idiot. A ksil is an idiot. Idiot, idiot. You know why? Ish bar leyeda, he doesn't understand. Uchsil leyoven is zois, das vashtetanish. Everything else in the world he understands. But this is the only thing he can't get wrapped around. His head wrapped around. Why there are people having difficult times with Shidduchim? He's got that. Why people have difficulty having children conceiving? He's got that. How come there are Shalom Bayis issues, Panosh issues, kids who have to derech? He's got the whole world. Zeus! That's an idiot. That's a ksil. All of a sudden they wake up and they say, I don't get it. Everything else you get. The sun rises, the sun sets. Over the moon. For those who know what I'm talking about. It's Mamish the Chayach. Sunrise, sunset. That you got. You understand why 6 million Yidden had to be killed? You understand why 1.5 million children under the age of 18 were killed by the Nazis and the Cohorts? That's what they say. Everything in the world you understand. So the first thing is, don't be excel. Be like Moshe Rabbeinu. And by the way, everybody can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is listed in one order. And sometimes Aaron is first, and sometimes Moshe is first. Says Rashi, why? Shkulois! Because they're both Shava B'Shava. What do you mean Shava B'Shava? Moshe Rabbeinu, Pel Pe Adababai. Kasbak Paya Meira. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem spoke to him like he's talking directly to someone else. Every other Navi got a Mara, a vision, a dream. Chobesi Nemonu. Lekom b'Yisrael k'moy sh'oid. He went up to Shemayim, Lechem l'yochal, 40 days and 40 nights. How could you compare Aaron to Moshe? It says sometimes Moshe first, sometimes Aaron first, to say that they're equal. So k'moy v'rebbe, agarim v'fol shmo birnbam, is that so? Each one had a tafkid. And your job is to do your tafkid. And the Rambam says, anyone can be a tzaddik like Moshe. I, the Kombi Yisrael K'moshe, realize your job, your mission statement in life. Just do your job. And that's Ephraim and Menashe. Everybody has their tafkid. Once I'm getting into Telza mode, I'll tell you a maise with Mori Virabi. Chaim Stein, Zechat Tzadik Kodesh Brocha, Grace of Goyen, it tells Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva of all Rosh Hashivas here, and Rav Kela Zatzal, and Rav Chaim Levine Zatzal, Rav Shmolz Zatzal. My Rebbe, Rav Chaim Stein, I was zoicha to learn with him Chavrusa 3 years less one zman first Seder. I could spend the rest of the day talking about that Chavrusa Shaft and unbelievable things I saw, I heard. But we'll move on. He had a lifelong friend, a goyin and a tzaddik, a molchut sukkaman zatzal, who was the rav of Givah Shaul. If you knew him, he was a malach Hashem tzvokos. He knew kol haterekul. He was a talmid of the Chofetz Chaim, and he was a shtickel mekubal. He gave brachas. Things happened. Reb Chaim also was the same way. So a cousin of mine's brother once asked a molchut sukkaman, "What is the secret, the longest of this relationship between Reb Chaim and Reb Moltke?" He said like this. Before the war, Chaim Stein was a Magid Shir in Telz. The legendary Telz in Litta, 400 Talmidim, Reb Chaim as a Bacha was a Magid Shir. During the war, he took 15 Bacharim and they went to Siberia. And his job is tasked by the Russians, the Soviets, was to be a lumberjack. He felled huge trees in the Siberian forest. He had huge hands. After the war, made his way back to Telz, came a little shiva. Malchut Zuckerman went on to say, before the war, I was close to the Chofetz Chaim. He was the Chofetz Chaim's Talmud. During the war, he was in the Kovno ghetto. And the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, ordered him to bury verbrennte Yidden. Jews that were burnt, he had to bury. And after the war, he made his way to Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, became the Rav of Givah Shaul, Mitam Dei Dechavredes, the grace of Talmud Chacham. Continued in Moltres Zuckerman that many people ask Reb Chaim and I, what did Hitler take away from you, Yimach Shemayim? How many years did he take away from you? Some people say 3 years, 5 years, 6 months. Reb Chaim and I say he didn't take away a day. Because before the war, the Rebbe Shalom wanted Chaim Stein to be Magid Shir in Telz. During the war, to chop forest, trees in the Siberian forest. And after the war, to be Rosh Hashiva. Before the war, the Rebbe Shalom wanted to be close to the Chofetz Chaim as his Talmud. During the war, to bury burnt Jews, and after the war to be the Rav and give our show. Rabbi said, and Rabbi Tzanai said, whatever you're doing, that's what Hashem wants you to do. Rabbi Polsky and I were roommates in Kim Kultura. Hashem wanted me to be a Rav, and he wanted him to be Rabbi Polsky. Can I explain to you why that's what God wanted? And hopefully we both do our jobs. Everybody wants to be something else. The doctor wants to be the lawyer. The dentist wants to be an investment analyst. I'm not going there. It's like you're making a super. Everybody wants to be something else. My Rabbi Darda used to say, it's not a Meshuggah world, it's a beautiful world just occupied by crazy people. So what happens over here? Be happy. Rabbi Yisai. If you're a Magid Shir, if you're a Rav, if you're a first grade Rebbe, if you're a businessman, if you're a plumber, whatever you're doing, do it the best you possibly can do. That's what Hashem wants you to be. Why is everybody looking? I want to be this, I want to do that, if only this, if only that. The whole life's with regrets. Live your whole life looking forward. This is your husband, this is your wife, this is your family, this is your kids, this is your car, this is your home. This is your strata financially, emotionally. This is who you are. And that creates Bruderschaft. There's one thing this war is teaching us. It's the lesson of Bruderschaft. Let me tell you what the Tanakh talks about Bruderschaft. Brotherhood. I'm not talking about the brotherhood. I'm talking about our brotherhood. Thank God Sanjo is here. He understands my humor. Yosef sees Binyamin. Yosef cries. I'll give you an understanding. Fianias daiti why he cried. He asked him, who are these boys? They're my sons. And he starts naming the 10 sons. Mupim, 9 other names. Every single one of his sons he named after his big brother Yosef. There's a medrash that says that if you mention Yosef's name in the house of Yaakov in the Shiftei Kah, you put in Cherum. He was persona non grata. Maybe he married a shiksa, maybe he assimilated, acculturated, maybe he was killed. He was deserving to die. In some circles they would call him Arusha Marisha, Arisha, Arusha Marisha. You can't even mention his name. But to him he was his big brother. And he hadn't seen him. So he named every one of his children after his brother. 10 sons, all named Yosef. What does that say about Bruderschaft? What is this terrible war and ordeal telling us about Bruderschaft? Everybody's reaching out to do whatever they possibly can do at every single level. Whether it's Tehillim, they say in the Beis Medrash here and all over the world. Whether it's the extra learning, whether it's Shmiras Haloshim, whether it's Shmiras Hastorim for your life. More learning, more Torah, more Shiurim, more Chesed, more packages to Eretz Yisrael, more money donated, more tears. This is the era of Bruderschaft. Shraga Feivel Mendelovich Zatzal. You don't hear his name very often, but he jump-started Chinuch in America. You know the Torah Masorah organization in New York? That's him. You know, they just went to Florida and they had a little business meeting party over there? That's him. Torah Masorah is a Shraga Feivel from beginning to end. You know what he did for a living? He wasn't a Rosh Yeshiva. He was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He was in business. Could you imagine that? The Halo Group Shraga Feivel. He went to work. By the way, you know what Tzadik says? Tzadik HaKoyim Lublin writes in Preet Tzadik. It says in the Gemara, after the Churban Habayis, Ein loy lomoy ela dalet am shalach. So if you want to find Shechina, it's the Kailul right here. It's the Kailul right there. It's the Yeshiva there. That's the only place you can find Shechina. You walk out of the Kailul, there's no Shechina. Dalet am shalach. If you conduct your business according to Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, you're like Label Kutov, who's a very wealthy man, and his Goyish workers told me, Label's word is his bond. He doesn't even have to shake his hand. A Jew's word is his bond. If you conduct your business that way, that's Shechina. You conduct your business according to Dalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, there's Shechina in your place of business. As they zok to Tzadik. So we have a world that's filled with Shechina. So Pshat HaFeivel says, you go to a preschool kid. My wife, Mara Bale, has been teaching younger children for many years. That happens to Mara Bale. Draw a picture of your tati, daddy, abba, grandfather, zaidi, saba. Draw a picture of your bubby. They pretty much all look alike. It's a stick figure. The torso is a stick, the arms are a stick, the legs are a stick. It's all a stick. You meet Monsieur Rembrandt. You know, my Rebbe of Giftesatzah would often say for a Motel Pragamansky, and really it's the Vemver Shver Rambam, but there was a country bumpkin that came to the Louvre to see some of the fantastic art pieces. He saw Da Vinci, he says, Zoyemilk, Schmutz, sour milk. He says, a Rembrandt, a Van Gogh, Zoyemilk, Schmutz. There was a Chacham that said, let me see your glasses. The man's occupation was a Chelbon, he was a dairy farmer. So that morning when he milked the cows, sour milk splattered on his glasses. So all he saw was sour milk. Clean the glasses. You have to look at the world, Rabbi said, with the Torah lenses. You know, I was once by my doctor in Cleveland, Ohio, when I was in the Kollel of the Rebbe. And Dr. Mark was the head of the ophthalmology at Mount Sinai Hospital. So he's writing on a piece of paper, after my diagnosis, severe myopia. I said, Doc, what does that mean? He says, you're nearsighted. Severe myopia, most of the people in the room, most Jews are nearsighted. You take somebody else's glasses, it's a distorted vision. You have to have the clean, clear perspective of Torah lenses, and then you see the world the way you're supposed to see it. You see a distorted vision, you're not going to see what you're supposed to see. So you have Rembrandt? And this youngster asked, Monsieur Rembrandt, parlez-vous français? He says, I'm a French, of course I speak French. The color of the blackboard is black. I mean, I know a couple of other words that I learned in French in 10th grade, that's about it. Je m'appelle Monsieur Touvien. Le bon Dieu, merci le bon Dieu, merci le beaucoup. A couple more words, fine. Can I observe you creating one of your masterpieces? He says, Avada, I'm about to create a masterpiece. It's going to be called The Rabbi. Now, it happens to be one of my favorite paintings because I look a little bit like this rabbi. Look at the picture of the rabbi. You can Google it. I look a little bit like him. So he watches Rembrandt. He blends his paints on the palette. He dips it in blood red. He splatters it on the canvas. Then he dips it in black and he splatters it on the canvas. And he tugs the Rembrandt's smock and he says, Monsieur Rembrandt, you ruined the canvas. You got to start again. He says, just wait, just wait. 6 months later, the beautiful portrait emerges. And the red is contrast. And the black is a shadow. You want to get it now? You want to understand it now? Wait until the masterpiece develops. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hodieni Noas Drachecha, show me your ways. And those that say that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking the ancient Grecian philosophical question known, Theodicy. Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked flourish? A certain conservative clergyman wrote a book full of kfirah. But God's powerless is stupidity. Can't even talk about that book. But man has been struggling with this. And they say that's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Sadek v'ra loy roshe v'toivlei. Incorrect. That's not what he asked. According to Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu asked, why is it Sadek v'toivlei, Sadek v'ra loy, roshe v'toivlei, roshe v'ra loy? I don't get anything. The best of times, the worst of times, I don't understand anything. What does Hashem tell him? Seemingly no answer. Fonai lo yerol, you're not going to see things as they happen. Me'achoyrei, with the broad brushstrokes of history, 1,000 years later, hindsight being 20/20, you'll understand everything. Rabbi say, you want to get it right now? You're not going to get it. Everything is a puzzle. Everything is difficult to comprehend. Don't be a chsil, liyoven and zois. And finally, there's the Weizener. in Chicago, meet the Weizener. Is that so? None of you met the Weizener? He was unbelievable. The Weizener Rav, he transformed Chicago. And of Kashrus in Chicago was his Talmud, Rabbi Goldzweig. The Weizener. He's a big tzaddik. He's in the concentration camp, and he's summoned to the commandant Yimach Shemai's office. So the Weizener takes his blanket, he gives it to another yid. He takes his shoes, gives it to another yid. He takes his crusty bread ration, gives it to another yid. Because if the commandant summons you, it's for one reason. He's going to kill you. He walks into the commandant's office, and he's saying vidui. He knows he's about to be killed by Kiddush Hashem. The commandant looks at him and he says, Rabina, why is God doing this to you? Why is God doing this to you? He says, El Commandant, it's a good question. My great-grandfather had the same question. He couldn't deal with why all the tzaras were happening to Klal Yisrael all the time. 3 generations ago. He fell asleep, he had a dream, and his great-grandfather came to him. We're talking about 6 generations from the Weizen. And he told him, your questions in Shemayim are not questions. You come up to Shemayim, they're not questions. Rav Shmuel Brody Zatzal used to say over that the Ramban had a Talmud who was supposed to be the next Godel Hador, and a Shtein Gedacht. He was leaving the world. And Ramban told him, I'm going to give you a Kameya. It'll open up every gate until you're by the Kisei HaKovod. I have a list of questions. Get me answers to these questions. The Talmud is Nifta. That night he comes to the Ramban in a dream. And he says, the Kameya worked like a charm. And it opened up every single shahr. I got into one Shemayim and the next Shemayim. Rebbe, I was by the Kisei HaKovod. There's only one problem. By the time I got to the Kisei HaKovod, the questions weren't questions. I can't answer you because they're not questions. So the Elta Zeta comes to him and he tells him. He says to his great-grandfather in his dream that he had, your questions are not questions in Shemayim. You have a choice. You can come up to Shemayim and you'll get your answers. You can stay on Oretz with your questions. So he looks at the commandant in the eyes and he says, Herr Commandant, I want to stay here a little bit longer. I can deal with these questions, why God's doing this to us. And the commandant let him live. So first and foremost, Rabbi said, they're excellent questions. We don't understand. We don't chap. We can't understand this. You know, there was a group of youngsters, 1,000 boys that were grabbed in the concentration camp, put into a block, they were going to be gassed the next day. And the father of one of the boys approached a legendary gadol in the concentration camp and said, I have a choice to pay an exorbitant amount and get the kapo to release my son. But Rebbe, they need 1,000. So if they're missing one, they'll grab someone else. Am I allowed to do it? And the Rebbe said, I don't know what to tell you. So the father said, if the Rebbe doesn't know what to tell me, that means he doesn't have a heter for me. If he doesn't have a heter for me, I can't endanger another Jewish boy. So I'm not going to do anything. And his son was killed. Now, a Goyim of Tuvia Goldstein, who was a great Goyim, Tuvia gave his share, a 3-part share to some of the fellows in my shul of his Talmidim, and he disputed this vehemently, and he said, for sure the father could have paid for his kid, whatever happened, happened, but that's not putting this child, the replacement, to death. And he had many rise to that. We talk now about Pidyon Shvuyim. Let's classify what is Pidyon Shvuyim. Someone approached Reb Shlomo Zalman and Rebbe Zatzal many years ago. They were raising money, at the time $200,000, for someone in the United States that was in prison because he stole. And for $200,000, they could somehow get a legal defense team to get him out. Shlomo Zalman says he stole. They don't grab people in America according to his understanding and just imprison them for no reason. It's because you don't have to give a penny to that. That's not pidyon shvuyim. He's a ganef. Maybe if he's in jail, he won't steal anymore. It says in the Torah Le'asigna. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. Now, I'm not getting into all issues with different people to get him out of prison. Do what you got to do. Ask your rav, ask your first, ask the other rabban. But just to set this up. The chaimer they have is easily for another hour, but knowing this would happen, my flight is at 1 o'clock, so we're going to finish on time. So I'll try to go through as much as I can. With the same yisoid, this is not halacha l'maisa, let's just give you some background to talk and learning b'negiah this inyan. Prison is in wartime. Now, Mishnah says that Jews that have been captives, should not be ransomed for more than their value. Because it's going to become a lucrative trade. And that's what the Mishnah says, the Rif is Maskim, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Yerideya, Reish, Nun, Beis, Yud. What happens if it's pikuach nefesh, if you know they're going to kill the fellow? Some say you still cannot pay an exorbitant amount to ransom him. Other poskim say, if he's in danger that he's going to be killed, you can pay whatever's necessary. Then there's the shaila, can the family ransom him? Is it a communal responsibility? There's a legendary maisa with Maram Rutenberg, just to put it in perspective. Maram Rutenberg was the gadol hador, he was the Rebbe of the Rosh. Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rosh. He was the gadol hador, Maram Rutenberg. And about 800 years ago he lived. When he was 70 years old, he was captured and placed in the Ensersheim prison in Alsace, France, by the Emperor Rudolf I. And he wanted an exorbitant amount, far beyond what captives are worth. And even though they didn't pay the ransom, they wanted to pay the ransom. The Talmidim, Amaron Rutenberg, and the Yidden say, for a Gadol Hador who affects Torah Jewry, imagine Moshe Feinstein's Atzal will spend all the money in the world. Everybody was maskim, except for one person, Maron Rutenberg, Shumay Finat. He wouldn't allow him to do it. He was scared that Rudolf and the other emperors would just take license and grab Jewish scholars and imprison them. He lived another 7 years in prison, and he was nifta in prison, and he stayed in prison more years until they ransomed his body. So he set a certain protocol from Rutenberg that you don't spend exorbitant amounts of money even for the Gadol Hador. Now, what about prisoners during wartime? Erevin Memdalet Amud Aleph. If they go and they raid a bordering village and they grab a little amount of straw and hay, you go to war because they're going to become more confident and the sky's the limit. They'll gain more confidence and they're going to increase their attacks. So, l'chaira, if it's wartime and they're taking hostages, then l'chaira you gotta go to war to save. We find Melech Harod, who's Yoshev Benegev, Klal Yisrael's traveling, that's right, and he decides he's gonna grab some people. Queen de Chazal was one shifcha. They went to war to get her back. Shmuel Aleph, Amalek attacks. Ziklag, and also the grave of Noshe. Dovra Melech doesn't sit down at the negotiating table. He rescues them, he goes to war. So it could be that a Shas Melchomer might be different than any other time. We could very well be in Shas Melchomer. So then all the rules of Pidyon Shvuyim are out the window when you're dealing with a war. We'll go through this and see as much as we can accomplish. We'll start off with the shayla that was asked in Tavshin Lamed Vav, 1976. Where were you July 4th, 1976? You know where I was? Yerushalayim HaKodesh, learning in Kol Torah. And that is when they hijacked TWA flight, Air France flight 139, and they asked the Shaila, the family members asked the Shaila, can they release prisoners? 40 prisoners for over 100, I believe 104 Jews that they separated. The whole Meisen and Entebbe, first they had over 200 passengers, they separated the Jews from the non-Jews. And Idi Amin Dada, Yimach Shemai was helping them from beginning to end. And they were terrified that they'd be killed. So they asked the Shaila if they could release the 40 terrorists. Imagine how the world has changed. Now they want to release 40 hostages for 4,000 terrorists. And by the way, can we just talk like we're friends? What do you mean terrorists from Gaza? Who are they releasing? These are prisoners who live in Shuafat, Yerushalayim, East Jerusalem, Hebron, the Shtachim, and they're all considered Gazans. Do you hear what's going on? They captured Hamas, Yimach Shemai, they're all Hamas. They're not demanding the release of Hamas. They're demanding the release of every terrorist that did anything wrong in Eretz Yisrael, threw rocks, caused an accident, killed some Jews, killed younger people, killed older people. They all live in Israel. But the world doesn't say one word. So we're not looking at a war against Hamas. We're looking at a war against all of them. And as we all know, the slogan from river to the sea means from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, which means there's no place left for Klal Yisrael. Out the door. I just heard on the top brass of the Israeli army, the IDF said this war against Hamas will last a year. Chas v'shalom, al tiftach pe l'satan. Hezbollah rockets right, left. It's pachad pchodim. Niplano b'yad Hashem. Ein li shom, ein li shom, shmai, mal stank sanju, and some of the friends that I met. Shtetach, Tilim, Yodin Hashem amoy v'lavadov yisnachom, says, the Gemara, ein Moshiach ben David bo ad shi yisiyai shom an agula. It's Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, that's all Marin, Rabbi Yankiv. Does that mean we're going to give up? And Moshiach's not going to come? We don't believe on Imam Emunah Shalema. He says, we give up on everybody else. We don't rely on anyone. That's when Mashiach comes. But we're rapidly approaching that. Very, very quickly. Where it's only Shon Levin Shemashamayim. So, basically, they separated and released the passengers, except for these 104 Jews. And the question was, what do you do? So in Yabi Omer, what's the issue? Because the terrorists that are going to be released may kill again. 40 terrorists may commit acts of terror. Do you save 104 for 40 possible terrorists who can act again? Zokter v'vadi Yosef. Teseft in Trumah. Trumas. Perek Zayin, Mishnah Chav Gimel. Goyim say, a group of Gentiles, give us this specific one of you and we'll kill you. If not, we're going to kill all of you. You can't give over a certain a Jewish life. You can't have over a single Jew. But in the case of Sheva Bas Bichri, well, they specified you could. The male Zokta, first glance, Maisa, the imprisoned terrorist, was in danger. Many hidden in clouds, so you can't take such an action. Even you're going to rescue over 100 Jews, but the mice you're endangering the Yidden and Klal Yisrael. You should all be killed and not hand over a single Jew. It seems like you're handing over Jews to save them. Zok Chacham Ovadia. There's a difference between Tosefta and our case. Because handing over another Jew is an act of cruelty. That's delivering him into the jaws of the lion to have him killed. That's spilling innocent blood. So rather they should be killed and not kill other Yidden. But over here, it's not so pushy that these terrorists are going to do anything. He says that handing over seems to be a form of collaboration with the killers. You can't collaborate. But an exchange of prisoners is an act of rescue. So he wants to posit and be a Omer that if it's an act of rescue, in that case of Entebbe, that it should be permitted. Now, you know, this is a famous shaila they have. There's a terrorist on a bus, Rahman Litzlan, he lobs a grenade into the bus, and somebody takes the grenade and throws it out and saves everybody on the bus, but nefach, somebody else gets killed. Is that permitted or not? If you direct an arrow, a hand grenade, a bomb, to one side, it's really an act of rescue. You're not killing the other individual. Now, things can happen. So he says also the same thing is that now it's possible that the terrorists may not kill, but he is saving for sure. So in this tshuva, he paskins that you're allowed to do it. Okay, we're talking now in that case of Entebbe. And the question now is this a similar case? You have the Tzitz Eliezer. Tshuva Nun Zayin, Chelukit Beis, Tshuva Kukv, Chelukit Gimel. What about sending soldiers to save other soldiers? And those soldiers will get killed. So, there's an afkamina if it's Shas Muhammad or not Shas Muhammad. He says that during a war, there's a different set of rules. And it could be permitted to kill. And he has a couple of cheshbonis. It says that the government has the interests of the country. So that's one cheshbon. Another cheshbon, they have the interests of many people. And the government is allowed to factor in the future. So governmental decisions, according to Rabbi Eliezer of Altenburg, are different than individuals of a community or individuals that are looking to redeem someone. He also says a big chiddush of Lazar Vandenberg. Morale is also factored in. So you send in three soldiers to save one soldier, he's rescued and they're killed. Morale is also something to take into account when you're at war. The army has the right, I would say, chutzmer of Lazar Vandenberg, to direct and to order soldiers into the battlefield in difficult situations, even when their lives are in danger. That's the very nature of military action. So again, is this considered a war? Is it not considered a war? I have a few more minutes. I'll just get into one more tshuva. He brings down Sanhedrin Ein Zayin, Ein Gimel. L'samayt al dam riecho. You can't stand when a stand idly by when another's blood is in danger. So, Chazal quote that pasuk, and then they bring examples. If somebody's drowning in a raging river, you jump in to save him. If he's confronted by bandits, you try to save him. A wild animal. So it says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ein Gimel. So that means you take risks. You're confronting wild animals, bandits, a raging river. But in the case of Leisamet al Dam Reyecha, does it apply when we're not absolutely certain that you can rescue the person and you're endangering lives? Agoyis Maimini, Rabbi Akoyim, Rabbi David, Ben Shlomo ibn Abi Zimra, the Rabbaz, who was a Rav in Mitzrayim in Egypt, and was also a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He was expelled from Spain. Agoyis Ma'amin says, you mechuyev to endanger yourself to save another yid based on your Yerushalmi. The Rabbaz argues just the opposite. If you do that, you're a chassid shoita, you're a pious fool. You're endangering yourself. So how can you take a risk to possibly save somebody else? Are we saving one person? Are we saving many people? Can you risk your life to save a gadol hador? And do you take a minor risk to save someone from grave danger? So according to Agoyis Maimini from the Yerushalmi, you have to incur danger, put yourself in sakana to save someone else from certain danger. If you have 40 terrorists imprisoned, even though they might increase the danger, but you're mechuyev to save 104 in Entebbe. We don't pass on like that, Agoyis Maimonides. We say that a sofek does not override a vadai. And the name of Sheikh V'chai Yochicha Imoch, Gemara Bav Metzia, and Daf Samach Beis, and Aleph says, who says that his blood is redder than your blood, my sum kadomo. And the Melo, Mar Numa Pehe, V'chai Bahem, you can't endanger yourself, even if it saves somebody else. Now, there's a tshuva of the Marval, second chelik, 40th tshuva. Reuven, in his story, in his tshuva, is an advisor and very close to noblemen. And sometimes they would arrest wealthy people, these noblemen, to conscript the Jews. Reuven is favored by the nobleman, can save a Jew, but is afraid that if he saves Shimon, they'll take Levi in his place. Is it permitted? Misumak damadidach. That's one case. The second case is the Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel Shiloh was a different Shiloh. There was a girl, and one of the noblemen decided that he wants to marry her. So she claimed that she came to him and said she's willing to give up Yiddishkeit and convert to be able to marry him. And when her uncle learned this, he sent her to another community. So what did this nobleman do? All's fair in love and war. He arrested the rabbonim and the communal leaders, put them in prison until the girl shows up to be able to marry him. So the Shaila was, if you extradite the girl, she'll certainly end up with him. But on the other hand, the communal leaders were in prison. So the Marval says that you can intervene to release Shimon. Because even though they may take someone else, Levi, in his place, but that's not normally an automatic thing that's going to happen. And the Mela, it's a certainty that you're releasing them. So the rescuer has done a maisa of hatzol, he hasn't done anything wrong, even though this other person is taken in place, and maybe that's what Reb Tuvia was basing his psak, that he should have allowed the fellow to rescue his child. Possibly putting Levi at risk, but it's not a certainty. The Beis Hillel, the woman does not have to endanger herself. He says, because the leaders are in less grave danger than he, than her. After a while, he'll let them go. But if she ends up with him, who knows what's going to be with her. So the Mela, Bezin cannot force these Rabbanim to be released by her giving herself over. Then there's the Yisoid of Sofik, and he might say, Midei Vadai. So the Maisa Chacham Avadya Paskin over there, we have to be more concerned with the 100 that face certain death from these terrorists, and the 40 terrorists will be released and possibly can wreak havoc across the countryside. Rabbi Yisrael, Nagzul Yinyinu Anal, I'm not Paskin. There definitely seems to be studying that in times of war, the laws of war take over. And we know that soldiers are sent to the front and their lives are in danger. I have a nephew. His name is Chaim Shmaryahu Dardak. His mother grew up here in Chicago, Rachelea Disson. So my beloved brother-in-law and sister-in-law and son are now all trembling because he's in the army, he's in intelligence, he's a lawyer. As much shaykhus as being a soldier as I have. And they took him right before Shabbos and sent him to the north, where he's embroiled in difficult combat. So, among all the other people you're davening for, please daven for Chaim Shmaryahu ben Rechaleah, that he should be safe and come home, gezun to hate. Shalom begufay, shalom b'mamaynay, shalom beruchay, together with all the other wonderful yidden. Rishon would say, this should all be an academic shaila. We shouldn't have to worry about the hostages. Take it from Miyad, it's all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me just tell you something we say in Tilim to take home. Moshe Zalavechik Zatzal visited a Talmud who was hospitalized in Switzerland. He was a Shiva in Lucerne. And he was very down, and he said, what's the matter? He said, the doctor gave up hope. He's miyayish on my life. He says, shteit v'rapa y'rapa. We all know, mikan yitim v'shustel reipa l'rapa. The chrenim say pshat, maybe Hashem passes sentence, you're not allowed to heal the person. So Hashem gives reshus for a doctor to use his medical proficiency and heal. But he doesn't give the person reshus to give up hope. And then he said, David HaMelech says, Shulam Aloy says, So Einai Elorim, Einai Yevo Yezri, Yezri Mim Hashem, Oy Sei Shemaim V'Oretz. Why do you have to identify the credentials of HaKadosh Baruch? Yezri Mim Hashem, Oy Sei Shemaim V'Oretz. So the Moshe Zalavish of Zatzal, if the Rebbein Shem can create Shemaim V'Oretz, the galaxies, the Milky Way, the entire world, Niagara Falls, seven wonders of the world, every one of us, ex nihilo, something from nothing, he can't change an atom. He can't move a molecule. He can't bring you a refuah. We are davening to Rebbeinu, a little precise earthquake, a little magefa, and it's all over in a nanosecond. We're davening Ezri Meim Hashem Oisei Shemayim V'Oretz, take it from Miyad with the coming Mashiach of Kedah and Erev Yameinu. Thank you very much for coming, listening, staying, and staying awake.